We're holding on Aientes Umudbe's last few words, the last line. We talked about yesterday the fact that that eating on Yom Kippur, the minimum amount for a person to be chayav, is not a kezias as it is with most things that the Torah says you're not allowed to eat. Rather, it's a kakesebes, a gasim. It's the size of a large date. And we said, actually, the reason is because the Torah doesn't actually say in so many words not to eat on Yom Kippur. Instead, it says you have to afflict yourself. And we said that the Chachamim figured out that a kesebes is the amount that a person will then not feel, will take the edge off their hunger. So now we're going to continue on that. Now we're going to continue on that point and compare it with another area of halacha where also, instead of a kezias, we have a different amount. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kol HaShiurim Kolon B'Kezayis. All Shiurim, whenever it says in the Torah not to eat a certain amount of food, or in some cases to eat a certain amount of food, you have to eat matzah on Pesach, you have to eat korbanos, etc. So always it's a Kezayis. Chutz mitumas oichlin, with the exception of tumah of food, sheshina hakosev mashmon, where the Torah gives us a different mashmos, as we're going to see soon, the pasuk phrases it a bit differently when it comes to tumas oichlin, and therefore b'shinu chachamim b'shiuran, and the chachamim therefore changed the shear and said that instead of a kezayis, it's a larger amount, or it'll be a kebetza, as we'll get to soon. Now, what we mean by the chachamim changing it, when we usually say, and we're going to say further on the, and we're going to say further on the Amud, that aren't shiurim halacha l'moshe misinai, we're going to see it's not so simple. It's possible, at least according to some opinions, as we're going to say, that shiurim are actually something that were halacha l'moshe misinai, but then it was forgotten, and then it was reconstructed by the chachamim. We'll get to that later. In any case, what we mean by the shear of Tumas Oichlin being different, by the way, there you have a machlokes rishonim about that. Rashi and Rambam learn that what it means is, as far as becoming tamei themselves, food will become tamei with any amount. Even a tiny little bit of food can become tamei. Only as far as transmitting tumah to other food do you need a minimum amount, a kabetza, as we're going to get to in a minute. Tosfos, on the other hand, Tosfos Hashanim quotes over here from regular Tosfos in various places that that the Rashbam and Rabbi Natam say that no, for food itself to become tamei, also you need a kibetza. You look at the expression in Tosfos Hashanim is v'chol masi tochpa mugburasam, all of the like the expression at the end of the Megillah about Mordechai, all of their might and their power, where they bring their powerful arguments, you can find in Tosfos in Shabbos and in Pesachim where these concepts are discussed. Anyway, but as far as being matameh other food, everybody agrees you need a kibetza. So that's one thing where we have different. It's not a kezayis, it's rather a kibetza. Or raya l'dava Yom Kippurim. A proof to that is by Yom Kippur. That the same thing as we said that by Yom Kippur the Torah doesn't say eating; it uses a different lashon, and therefore that leads us to say that it's larger than a kezayis. Similarly, by Tumas Oichlin, since the Torah uses a different expression, it doesn't just say the word achila, as we're going to get to soon. Then it means it's a larger amount. So, my shina hakosav mashmoi, what do we mean by Yom Kippur that the Torah changed the phrasing? Is, as we said, miloi se'una. The pasuk says anybody who doesn't afflict themselves, doesn't say anybody asher toichal, that eats. In fact, in the Gemara tomorrow, we're going to talk about there's really no explicit lav in the Torah that says don't eat on Yom Kippur. There's sort of an implicit lav that says anybody who doesn't afflict themselves is going to get kares. But we'll take up that point tomorrow, Best Hashem. But in any case, since the Torah doesn't say lois soichal, instead it says lois seuna, then therefore that means that the amount is larger than a kezayis, and therefore we said a kesebes. Umay shinu chachamim b'shiure. So what do we mean? The chachamim changed the shiur. It means kakesebes, as we said, that we instead of a kezayis, we evaluated as the size of a kesebes, a large date. One possibility, some of the Mephoshim say, maybe what the Gemara means, given that we according to the opinions that we're going to say later, that Shiurim are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, maybe what it is the Shiur itself of a date is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. This that we talked about yesterday, that it's the size of a large date, is something the Chachamim clarified, that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that we don't just mean the average size date, as we have, for example, with Kabetza, where the Mishnah in Kalim explains that we use an average size egg. Rather, it means that we use the largest date possible. Okay, So my raya ladavar Yom Kippurim, what do we mean that, why do we have to bring a raya from Yom Kippur to Trumas Eichlin? Why is Yom Kippur stronger, such that we should say, if it weren't for Yom Kippur, we wouldn't have known that Trumas Eichlin is a larger shiur? What's it, why is Yom Kippur stronger? So De'imei Hasim, if we only had the pasuk by Trumas Eichlin, whereas we're going to quote the pasuk in a minute, it does use the word, it does use a shodesh of achila. It just phrases it differently. But if you only had that pasuk, Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel, that we're going to quote in a minute, all the food that can be eaten, ha'amina, then you would have thought that doesn't mean that it's a different shiur. Ucha dekrohu, that's just the normal way of speaking all the food that can be eaten. So therefore, but now that we see that we have the example of Yom Kippur, where it doesn't use the word achila at all, and we know, and therefore that tells us it's not a kazayas at all, it's a kesevis, therefore that gives us a basis for saying that the same thing. When it says by Trumas Eichlin, mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel, then it means this, it means also that it's going to be some larger amount. So Trumas Eichlin kebetza minolan. So where do we know that? That Trumas Eichlin requires a kebetza. Again, according to Rashi and Rambam, only to be metame other food, for itself to become tame, even a tiny amount will become tame. According to Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, also for it to, itself to become tame. Anyway, how do we know that the minimum amount is a kebetza? Which Tosfos discusses over here at some length, the question of whether a beitza is equal to two kezesim or three, which is very negeya in halacha when we're trying to figure out the size of a kezias, which, for example, you know, nowadays we have the only mitzvah saseh where we have to eat something daraisa is matzah. So you get into the question how you evaluate the size of the kezias of matzah that you have to eat. One of the big things that factors into that is that question of whether there are two or three kezesim in a beitza. Tosfos discusses it at some length over here. There are a couple of other places where Tosfos also gets into a discussion pro and con of it. Anyway, so how do we know that Trumas Eichlin requires the size of a kebetza? Because the pasuk says, "Mikol ha'oichel asher ye'ochel," all the food that could be eaten. It doesn't just say all the food, in which case we would say a kezias as usual. It says all the food, all the oichel asher ye'ochel that can be eaten. That means the double expression means oichel abo machmas oichel. That means we have to evaluate according to a food item that comes from another food item. The ezazeh, what is that? The ezazeh, what is that? Zabetas tanagolas, that's an egg from a chicken. The chicken lays an egg. The chicken itself is edible. The egg is edible also, as opposed to, for example, a kazayas or any other kind of fruit comes from a tree where the tree itself is not edible. So therefore, that's how we know that it means an egg of a chicken. So the Gemara asks, why does it need to be an egg b'chlal? B'emagdi, so maybe say that it should be the size of a newborn animal, which after all is also, it's edible, and it comes from a mother, which is edible. The answer is it's not yet. Right now, it's not called food, because mechusu shchita, it still needs shchita. Now, as far as, now Rashi uses the expression that neither it nor its mother is yet considered food as far as tuma. Now, as far as the chicken, you could argue the same thing, that if a chicken lays an egg, the chicken hasn't been shechted yet. But the answer is, I think Tosfos Yom Kippurim says, okay, but you could have a case, for example, where you shecht a chicken and find a baby and find an egg inside it, where you're allowed to eat those eggs. Depending on how developed the egg is, it may be parve or it may be fleshik, but whatever, you are allowed to eat the egg as long as it reached a certain stage of development. So then you have that the mother and the egg are both food right now. Rashi, by the way, focuses more on the fact that it's not so much food as far as whether you can eat it, but food as far as tumah v'tahara. The Gvura Sari actually asks on that to why Rashi has to do that way rather than just saying we're talking about that it's food. In any case, the point is that when a baby animal is born, it still needs shchita. So besides the fact that it can't be eaten yet, more to the point, it's not makabel tumah yet. So it's not oichel abo machmas oichel until it's shechted. Okay, so the question is Ve'ema ben Pekua. So what about, you could say that maybe the Torah is implying that for food, that for Trumas Eichlin, you need the size of a ben Pekua, which is again, we shecht the mother animal. So similar to the case, you shechted a chicken and found an egg inside. You have a similar case where you shecht the mother animal and you find a baby inside. Where the din is, you don't need to shecht that baby. So therefore, on the face of it, the mother is already makabel tumah because it's been shechted and now it's food. Now it's usable for food. It's makabel tumah. The baby doesn't need to be shechted. So presumably right now it's available to use as food, and therefore it's makabel tumah as well. So why don't we say that? Now, of course, the Gemara could answer as it does, as it's going to, on a different question in a second. You could say tafasta merubal or tafasta, but the Gemara has a better answer. The answer is ton kriya. Even the ben pekua is not ready to eat as is because you have to rip it open in order to get out the blood. Because the blood of the you're going to say the ben pekua itself is mutter to eat, but the blood of it is usser. So therefore, you have to at least do something to it, namely opening it up to take out the blood, as opposed to when an egg is laid, or even you shech the chicken and find the egg inside it, you don't need to. The egg is ready to eat as is. There is a different explanation from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, that says that actually what it is even though a ben pekua doesn't have to be shechted, you have to kill it somehow. You can't eat it alive. That would be Eva Menachai. So therefore, according to that, kodei means like stabbing it or ripping it open or whatever in order to kill it. And the point is the same idea. In other words, that without that, you can't eat it. Therefore, without that, it's not makabel tumah yet while it's alive. So therefore, it can't be a baby animal or even a ben pekua. Okay, the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema beitzes bar yuchni." Okay, so maybe who says we're talking about, fine, let's say we're talking about an egg. Who says we're talking about the egg of a chicken? Maybe we're talking about an egg of a bar yuchni, which is a very, very large bird. Rashi refers over here to a Gemara in Bechoris that tells a story about how one time an egg from such a bird fell out of the nest, and it was so large that it splashed and destroyed 60 cities. Now, okay, you know, it's meant as a metaphor, and Marsha talks about over there, and other Mephoshim talk about what that metaphor represents. But the point is, still, the Gemara is using for that purpose a bird and its egg, which are very large. In the Aruch HaShalom, it suggests that maybe a bar yuchni is an ostrich, or you know, an ostrich, of course, isn't kosher, and neither are its eggs, but fine, maybe the Gemara still means that after all, it would be mekabel tumas ochlin, because goyim will eat them. Anyway, the point is, how do we know it doesn't mean such a large egg as that? And the answer is the famous expression, tafasta merubah lo tafasta. If you try to grab too much, you haven't grabbed anything. Tafasta more, tafasta. But if you grab a little bit, then you've grabbed. In other words, and Rashi explains in other places what it means. In other words, if you're going to say that it means the egg of a bar yuchni, then I'm going to tell you, well, how do you know it means that? It could be even larger. Maybe there's some other larger bird out there that has an even larger egg. And that's what you have to be mashayer. So you have no maximum value. Therefore, we can say that any amount that you say, well, how do you know it's going to be that large? But if you do something more normal size, like a chicken egg, then you can say, okay, it's reasonable to assume that that's the kind of egg the Pasuk is talking about, rather than going indefinitely large where you don't know. In the previous perek, in connection with the clothes of the Kohen of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hediot, Tosfos laid down a rule over there that where you have a potential maximum value, where like you only have a few possibilities, and you have a certain defined number of possibilities, then we don't apply to fasta merubale to fasta. But here, a bar yuchni is a very large bird, but it's not necessarily, its eggs are not necessarily the largest that are out there. Maybe there's some larger one out there. Therefore, we can apply this rule and say that if you're going to say it means a bar yuchni egg, you have no proof that it should be that large, and therefore, more logically, we have to use a smaller number. Okay, so then the question is, ve'ema be'asa d'tziporta. So in that case, go the other way around. Who says it means a chicken egg? Maybe it means the egg of a tziporta, which is a very small bird, a d'zuta tova, which is extremely small. Rashi actually takes out the word zuta tova. And Mephoshim have a few different explanations why. One of them is because maybe the egg of a tziporta is even less than a kazayas, and less than a kazayas, there's no reason we should assume that it refers to that. There is actually an interesting explanation that maybe the word dezuto tova. Now, the Gemara leaves the question unanswered on the face of it, and the Gemara is going to give a different answer. Rabbi Bohu is going to give a different answer. However, there is actually an interesting explanation that maybe the words dezuto tova are actually the answer. The answer is it can't be the egg of a tziporta because it's so small, even smaller than a kazayas. There's no logical reason to say, given that there's no shear less than a kazayas, there's no reason to say that all of a sudden over here by Thomas Eichlin, It should be less than that. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara has, so on the face of it, though, the Gemara has left the question unanswered. How do we know that it's dafka, chicken, egg, rather than some other kind? So Rabbi Bohu didei Omar. Rabbi Bohu on his own gave a different answer. Before we had Rabbi Bohu quoting in the name of Rabbi Lazar, but that one we were left with a question. So instead, Rabbi Bohu comes up with an answer of his own, which we're not going to be able to refute. The pasuk says, "Mikol ha'oichal asher ye'ochol." He was a different way. Not that we're going to say that ha'oichal asher ye'ochol means food that comes from within food, and then that leads us to say it must be an egg, and then ask, well, what kind of bird's egg are we talking about? Rather, it means oichal shata oichal bevasachas. It means the amount of food that you could swallow at one time. The Shiru Chachamim, the Chachamim figured out, Ein Beis Abliya Yach Machzik Yotzim in Beis Tarnegolos, the throat, when a person is swallowing something, can't fit more than a chicken egg. So therefore, so that answers our question. So it can't be the egg of a tziparta, because that would be much less than a person could swallow at once. It can't be the egg of a bayuchni, because that's much more than a person could swallow at once. The amount a person could swallow at once would be the size of a chicken egg, of an average-sized chicken egg. And therefore, that becomes the shear based on the fact that the pasuk says, asher ye'ochol, implying that you can eat it all at once. So again, here's where Tosfos gets into the question. There's a Gemara in Krisos that implies that a person can swallow two zesim at one time. Does that imply that two zesim equals one kabetza? But maybe not. Maybe the zesim are different because they're harder and they have pits inside them, etc., etc. So that leads Tosfos into a long discussion on the question of whether two zesim or three zesim make up a kabetza. And Shulchan Aruch, it mentions both opinions, and it says that in general we have to be machmir in each place in the as needed, which means when it comes to eating matzah, which is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, then you have to be on the safe side, consider that a kezayis is half of a kebetza, and then work appropriately. According to Rabbi Avraham Chaim, no, a kebetza is about 2 ounces. Therefore, the minimum you'd have to eat of matzah would be 1 ounce, which comes out to about half of one of our matzahs. If a person can't, then fine, they can get away with a third. And then, of course, according to the Chazon Ish, who makes all the shiurim larger, then the amount of matzah you'd have to eat would also be proportionately larger. So that's, in any case, that's how we know that when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, you need a kabetza from this pasuk Mikola Oichel Asher Ye'ochel, and what gave the Chachamim the concept that it shouldn't be a kezayis unlike usual is because of the different expression, where we have a precedent from the fact that we have a different expression by Yom Kippur, and we say that it's not a kezayis there either. Okay, talking further about Shiurim, nowadays, if a person eats chalev when there's no Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban, he shouldn't just write down, I have to bring a korban. He should write down the amount that he ate. Well, Shema Yavei, based in Acha, v'yayra b'shiyorin, because a future based in might come and make an increase in the shiurim. Now, what does that mean? My yarbe b'shiurin. What does that mean to increase the shiurin? E name de mechayvi korban a kezayis cotton. Do you mean that right now the accepted halacha is that you bring a chatas only for a medium-sized kezayis, but a later based in might decide instead that you're supposed to bring a chatas for a smaller-sized kezayis? Are you going to say that? And therefore, you have to write down. So let's say, for example, an average-sized kezayis is according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, an ounce. So let's say, for example, you're going to say that if a person ate half an ounce of chalev, he shouldn't write down, I need to bring a chatas when Mashiach comes. He should write, I ate a half ounce of chalev. And that way, in the future, it might happen that Beis Din is going to decide that a half ounce is a kezayis, and that makes him chayev in a korban. How could, and now we're going to ask in the Gemara later, how does yarbe b'shiurim come to mean decrease the size? We'll get to that soon. But first, we have a different question. Can't be. In that case, the person wouldn't be chayav a chatas. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says that a person has to bring a chatas for various isurim, including chaylev, the pasuk says, asher loisa aseh b'shogaga, the person did something that he was not supposed to have done b'shogeg, v'oshem, and he was guilty, which we learn from that only because he did it b'shogaga, which means hashav midi osai, only if it's the kind of thing where if he had known a certain fact, then he wouldn't have done it. Shav, he would have returned back and not done what he's going to do. Midi osai, because he knows he's not supposed to. then maybe korban al shugrasa. That's the kind of person who brings a korban for a shugrasa. Loy shav midiyasa ain maybe korban al shugrasa. But if he's not shav midiyasa, then he's not bringing a korban. So now, in this case, he wouldn't have been shav midiyasa because in this case, right. So in this case, right now. So there's two major ways that achronim have of explaining that. The Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam says that the vort is, yes, well, let's assume that what it means is the later Beis Din is going to determine that the earlier Beis Din made a mistake and decided the Kazayas incorrectly. Nevertheless, since that's only going to be known, when the Beis Mikdash is built, we can't call that Shav Midiyase right now. The other way of it is the Gvura Sari, who says, Bechlal, we don't have to assume the second Beis Din is going to say the first Beis Din made a mistake. A later Beis Din, in certain cases, is allowed to argue with an earlier Beis Din. So therefore, okay, you know, in the time when he ate Chalev, then it was in the time when he ate chalev, there was no chiyuv chatos on eating a half an ounce, because at that time Beis Din had decided that only an ounce is considered a kazayis. The fact that a later Beis Din changes that doesn't affect things from before. If he had known at the time, okay, he wouldn't have eaten it fine because chatzishio also, like we learned at the beginning of the perek, but he wouldn't have said, oh, this is going to make me chayev and a chatos, and therefore I'm not going to do it. So therefore, there's no shav midiyasa. So how can you say that if a later Beis Din were to make the shiurim smaller than that, then potentially he'd be chayv achatas? He wouldn't. El or no, it means the other way around. Deloy mechayv korban ad ikka kazayis gadol. On the contrary, what might happen is the later Beis Din might decide that you need a large kazayis. So instead of an ounce, they're going to say that a kazayis is an ounce and a half. So now, again, the point is, a person ate an ounce, which in nowadays is considered to be a chiyuv chatas, is considered to be a kazayis. Nevertheless, though, he shouldn't write down, I need to bring a chatas, because if the later Beis Din decide that you only bring a chatas for an ounce and a half, then it means he'd be bringing cholin lazara, and therefore he should write down the amount and then see what happens when Beis Din decides it. So the Gemara asks, "So l'may de solak adaita mi'ikra de mechayvi korban akazayis katan?" Okay, so we've explained what Rabbi Lazar meant. He didn't mean that Beis Din might make the shiurim smaller. It meant just the opposite. It might make them larger. But leaving aside the question about shav midiyasa, anyway, how did we even think in the first place to mechayvi korban akazayis katan that it might mean that the later Beis Din might decide that a small kazayis is enough to be chayev? In that case, my yarib shiurim. How does that even fit with the wording of Rabbi Elazar that they might increase the shiurim? For that reason alone, we should have realized that's not what it could mean. Without getting into the hashav midiyase business, and the answer is shema yarib korbanas machmas shiurim. Conceivably, according to that way of understanding it, Rabbi Elazar might have meant that they're going to increase the number of korbanos that have to be brought as a result of the shiurim. In other words, just the opposite, like we assumed originally, that it might mean they're going to make the shiurim smaller and therefore the number of korbanos larger. We said that can't be only because of the shav midiyasa, but if it weren't for that, we could have explained it that way. Now that we brought in the factor of shav midiyasa, then that leaves us to say that Rabbi Elazar meant, in fact, that they might increase the size of what's considered a kazayis. We're going to mention soon, again, that we have different opinions about whether the shiurim, as we have them, a kazayis for this, a kabeitza for that, etc., is all purely halacha l'moshe misinai, in which case a later Beis Din can't change that. They can't argue on halacha l'moshe misinai. Or whether, as we're going to say soon, that they were forgotten and then restored by later chachamim, in which case a later Beis Din could disagree with that reconstruction. So in fact, Rabbi Elazar might be holding, according to the opinion that we're going to bring soon, that those were reestablished by a later Beis Din because they were forgotten. Another possibility one of the Mefarshim brings is even if we say they are halacha l'mishum Sinai, still we know even nowadays we have Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah's shiurim, we have the Chazon Ish's shiurim, we have other less well-known ones. So conceivably what might happen is that nowadays the accepted halacha, let's say, is like Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, conceivably a later Beis Din might decide that rather what's considered to be a kazayis beinoni is larger, like the Chazon Ish. And therefore, so they're not arguing on the actual din that it's a kazayis beinoni, they're just arguing how to translate that into contemporary measurements. An interesting point in this, by the way, is it comes out from this Gemara that in general, if a person did an Avera that potentially might make them chayev chatos, then they should write it down, and then when Mashiach comes, they're in fact going to have to bring a chatos. You have the famous story in Masechta Shabbos as well, where Rabbi Shmuel one time was reading by candlelight on Shabbos, even though the Chacham said you're not allowed to, because he figured he's not going to adjust the wick. And in the end, he did, and he wrote down after Shabbos that when Mashiach comes, I'm going to have to bring a chatos. On the other hand, the fact is, the poskim, for the most part, don't bring this. The Magen Avraham brings it as an incidental thing in Hilchos Shabbos. The Alter Rebbe, who usually follows the Magen Avraham, doesn't bring it at all. There's a sicha from Tavshin Mem Aleph where the Rebbe talked about this at some length. And the gist of the Rebbe's explanation was, if a person lives with that, it really is a reality to them, a constant ongoing thing, that Mashiach might come and the Beis Mikdash might be rebuilt any moment, then yes, that would be the kind of person like Rabbi Shmuel who would have to write it down and eventually bring a chatos when the time comes. For the average person who doesn't feel that as such a reality, it doesn't feel that as such an immediate thing, for them, we can't say that when they did the Aveda in the first place, they did it with any cognizance that if they had done it b'mezid, that if they had realized that there's a chatos involved, it would have been, they wouldn't have done it, sort of like the Shav Midiyasi was saying over here, and therefore, even when Mashiach comes, the average person is not going to be required to bring a chatos for such things, because at the time they did it, they really had no cognizance of that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built anytime soon. And there are, by the way, also Mephoshim who say that even this that we're saying that you have to bring a chatos might only be if the Beis HaMikdash is built while the person is still alive. If the person ends up dying and then coming back into Kesem Esim, they may not need to because their death will have been mechaper for them. Okay. Moving on, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shiurim v'oinshin alocha l'mosh misinai. Rabbi Yechanan says that Shiurim, meaning the Shiur, this is a Kazayas, this is a Kabetza, etc., and Oinshin and the punishments for various Averas are both Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Now, the question is, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai means, by definition, something that's not written in the Pasuk, but we only know the Kabbalah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you mean about Oinshin? Oinshin Michtav Ksibi, the punishments for various things. This thing is Chayiv Kares, this thing is Chayiv Nisus Beistin, that one is a Chatas, etc. All of them, it says explicitly in the Pasuk. So what do you mean those are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Ella Hachikamar. You're right. What we mean is Amar Abyechin and Shiurin Shell Oinshin Halachal Moshe Misinai. What we mean is the Shiurim of punishments are Halachal Moshe Misinai. Meaning, in other words, that Rabbi Yochanan himself said at the beginning of the parak, Chatzi Shiur also Minatorah, that Minatorah, for example, you're not allowed to eat a half kazayas of chaylev either. There's just no malchus or kares or what have you for it. So now he's saying the actual shear, that there needs to be a minimum of kazayas for a person to be chayav for eating chaylev and so forth, with all the other ones, such things are halachal moshe misinai. Tanya nami hachim, we learn similarly in Ebraisa, shiurin shel oinshin halachal moshe misinai. Acherim oimrim, acherim, which usually means Reb Meir, says, beis dinah shel yabetz tiknum. They're not halachal moshe misinai. They were established by the Beis Din of Yabetz. Yabetz is another name for Asniel ben Knaz, the first one of the Shoftim. So Gemara says, what do you mean? How does Asniel ben Knaz and his Beis Din have the right to set such a thing up? V'aksiv Eilah HaMitzvahs. Doesn't the Pasuk say at the end of the last Pasuk of Parashas of Chumash Vayikra, says these are the mitzvahs, implying only these mitzvahs, so only these that were given through Moshe or the mitzvahs. She'ein Novi Rashoi L'chadish Dover Me'ata. A Novi cannot come up with a new halacha or a new mitzvah in the Torah. And then Asniel ben Knaz is already after Moshe had passed away. The answer is, Ela Shchochum v'chozru v'yistrum. What we mean is they were forgotten. The Gemara tells us in Tumura that they forgot several thousand halachas after Moshe passed away. And then v'chozru v'yistrum. And then according to this opinion, Yabetz is based in, we set them up. And as the Gemara says over there, Osnir ben Knaz figured out with his pupil, was able to reconstruct all those halachas. So again, there was an explanation that what we said before, that according to Rabbi Lazar, a later Beis Din might come and change the Shiurim. He would be following the opinion over here, the opinion of Acherim over here, that the Shiurim that we have are based on Yabetz's reconstruction of them. And in that case, as great as Yabetz was, a later Beis Din can disagree with him and learn differently and therefore say that instead of a Kazayis Beinoni, for example, it's a Kazayis Gadol. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, would be disagreeing with that. He'd be following the Tanakama of the Braisa and say that they were never forgotten in the first place, as we have them as how they came from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore there's no arguing on them in future generations. We said in the Mishnah, Hashosa Maloy Lugmav, we said that if a person drinks Maloy Lugmav, literally Maloy Lugmav means the fullness of his cheeks. In other words, it sounds like it means the amount of liquid that would fill up both his cheeks. So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Loy Maloy Lugmav Mamash, doesn't literally mean Maloy Lugmav, doesn't mean both cheeks full. Ella Kol She'ilu Yisau Kenu L'tzad Echad, it means that there's enough in his mouth, enough liquid in his mouth, that if he were to put it over to one side of his mouth, if he were to put it into one cheek, then it appears from the side as if both his cheeks are full, because you see only one cheek, and therefore you think the other one is full as well. So the question is, what do you mean? The Mishnah said, the amount that fills both cheeks. And the answer is, okay, it doesn't mean exactly the amount for both cheeks. It means the amount that's similar. It means, again, that it means that you'd look from the side and it would look as though both cheeks are full. The Gemara says, mace, but we'll talk about at the end, Bez Hashem, how much that is in contemporary measurements. So the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, mace, we have a contradiction. A Braisa says, kama yishtev yehei chayev, how much does a person have to drink on Yom Kippur and then he's chayev kores or chatos, as the case may be. Beshama oimim revius, Beshama says he has to have drunk at least a revius, or Beshilo oimim maloy lugmav, Beshilo says maloy lugmav, and Rabbi Yehuda oimim mishum rebelozer, kim loy lugmav. Now that's going to be the question. If Maloy Lugmav and Kim Loy Lugmav is the same thing, then where's the Machlokas? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, I'm a Kedei Gmiya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that it's an even smaller amount, the amount that a person could gulp down at one time. So therefore, so again, Beshilo is saying Maloy Lugmav sounds like it means his two cheeks full. So Gemara says, so what? That's a Braisa. Mia Difim Masnissin. Is the Braisa any stronger than the Mishnah? The Ukimna Kadeshi Yerah. And we're saying that the Maloy Lugmav of our Mishnah doesn't mean Maloy Lugmav. It means Kim Loy Lugmav. Hochanami. You could say the same thing in the Braisa. It means Kadeshi Yerah. It means enough that it appears like Maloy Lugmav, but really it's only on one side. The question then is, Ihochi Hainu Rabbi Lazar. Nu, isn't that then the same thing, or Rabbi Eliezer rather, isn't that the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer is saying? You have, on the face of it, you have four opinions in the Braisa, Beshamai, Beshilol, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. If you're going to tell me Maloy Lugma for Beshilol and Kimloy Lugma for Rabbi Eliezer are the same thing, then you only have three opinions. The answer is, Ikebenai, Maloy Lugma Dochuk. The Nafkamina between Beshilol and Rabbi Eliezer would be, do you need that actually, do you need that it's really pushed in tightly? Or rather, what it is according to Beshilo, what it means is it's enough, when is the person chayev, it has to be that it's really bulging out as much as possible so that it's very clearly a cheekful, and then you figure the other side is probably the same thing, and therefore it looks like a double cheekful. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would be saying it means dochuk, it means it doesn't really have to be that full. It can be a little bit less full, which means it's more machmer on Beshilo, but not by much. Okay, so the question is, maskif lo Rabbi Hoshea, im kein, if you're going to say that we don't mean maloy lugmav, we mean kimloy lugmav, we mean one cheekful, and that is less than a revius. If it was two cheekfuls, then it would be over a revius. And Tosfos discusses over here, what about when it comes to drinking from Kiddush, the same thing that we'd say it would be Kimloy Lugmav. You don't have to drink more than a revius, you have to drink less than a revius, and then you yotze Kiddush. But if you're going to say that our Mishnah also, when it says Maloy Lugmav, really means Kimloy Lugmav, and therefore it means only one cheekful, and fine, you're going to get into, does it mean the cheekful is completely bulging out or a little bit less, like Rabbi Eliezer? Anyway, Imkein, Havalei Mekulei Beshamai, Umrechumer Beshilo. Wouldn't that be one of the cases where Beshamai is Mekul and Beshilo is Machmer? Because Beshamai is going to be saying he's Chayiv Kores only if he drinks a full Revius, and Beshilo is going to be saying less. Now, we have in Masechta Edius, it lists all the machlokas in where Beshamai is Mekel and Beshilo is Machmir, seeing as how those are unusual, as we know it's usually the other way around. So if we were going to say Maloy Lugmav meant two cheeks full, okay, that's more than a revius, it comes out. Beshilo is Mekel, as they usually are. But if you're going to tell me that it means only one cheekful, then it comes out with Hillel as being Machmir and with Shammai as Mekel, and why isn't that listed in Adius? Amar Leih, so he answers him, ki ichil, when the original question was asked in the Bais Medrash, how much does a person need to drink to be chayev? Ba'og malacha boshen ichil. The original question was regarding somebody very large, like og malacha boshen, a physically very large person. To have a loy, Bais Shammai l'chumra, and in that case, Bais Shammai does come out being machmir, because it comes out, in other words, for such a person, maloy lugma, even one cheekful, would be much more than a revius. Therefore, it comes out that in such a case, Bais Shammai would be machmir. When do we say, when do we have listed in Adius that Bais Shammai, the cases where Bais Shammai is makel, is only when Bais Shammai is always makel. In this case, sometimes they're makel, sometimes not, depends on the size of the person. So therefore, we can't say as a blanket statement that Bais Shammai is makel, because sometimes they're going to be makel and sometimes they're going to be machmir. Depends on the size of the person. The question now becomes maskif for Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira asks. So okay, before you get into maskif for Rav Zeira, it's going to come out. Then we're saying that it's going to come out that maloy lugmav depends on the size of the person. A larger person is going to have a larger maloy lugmav. A smaller one is going to have a smaller one. An interesting point, actually, in this connection, the Ran says it's really very difficult to determine the exact amount of kimloy lugma, because and the rid adds to that. Really, the only way you can measure is to have the person put their head downward. If you have a person stands up, if a person keeps their head upright and fills up their cheek with liquid, and inevitably some of it is going to run down their throat. The only valid way to measure it would be the person would have to put their head with their face down, and then you can put liquid in their cheek and measure it. There is, in fact, in that connection we were talking about before, the Shiurim of the Chazon Ish, where essentially what he does is he bases himself on the Noda B'Yehuda, where the Noda B'Yehuda did some calculations and came out that many of the things we have nowadays, such as the eggs, are half the size they were in the times of the Gemara. So, for example, the average egg nowadays is around 2 ounces, and Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah bases himself on that and says that a kibetza is 2 ounces, but the Noda B'Yehuda made a calculation and says it seems to come out that in the times of the Gemara, an egg was larger than that. It was closer to 4 ounces, and the Chazon Ish bases his shiurim on that. So they ask a question on him now. A revius, we know, is the equivalent of 1.5 eggs. We know that from other Gemaras. So Mela, if you say like Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, that a kibetza is 2 ounces and a revius is 3 ounces. Sure, a person can fit 3 ounces of liquid in their cheek. But according to the Noda B'Yehuda's and the Chazon Ish's way of looking at it, you're going to say a person is going to be able to fit 6 ounces of liquid in their cheek. How is a person able to do that? The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Mishnah Berurah that he did some experiments and found that it's really impossible to do that. You can't get anywhere near 6 ounces in a cheek. So how does that fit with the Noda B'Yehuda and the Chazon Ish? So the Chazon Ish answered on that. He said, you know what, like we're saying in the Gemara over here, you have to really stretch out the cheek to the maximum. Maybe when the Chafetz Chaim did his experiments, he didn't have the people bulge out their cheeks to the absolute maximum. Maybe if they did, they would have been able to fit 6 ounces in there. But this is one of the proofs that's brought towards Rav Avraham Chaim Noah's Shitta, which is what we generally follow, that in fact the beitzim we have nowadays are pretty much the same size as the ones they had then, and therefore that a kibetza would be about 2 ounces and a kazayas would be about 3 ounces. A revius would be about 3 ounces. Okay. So the Gemara says maski for Rav Zeira. So now Rav Zeira says, I have a question on this. Maishna gabi achila. So what's the difference when it comes to eating? The kochad b'chad b'kakeseves. We say that every person will give the same shear. If they eat a keseves agasa, then they're chayev. Or maishna shsia, as opposed to by drinking the kochad b'chad b'didei. We were saying we measure each person according to their cheekful. What's the difference? And by the way, again, given that it's different for each person, the maloy logmav, we can't really give a figure. But for the average person, the poskim are willing to accept that maloy lugmav is about an ounce and a third. They say about 37 or 40 milliliters, which comes out to about an ounce and a quarter or an ounce and a third or thereabouts. So therefore, again, if you have to give a person to drink on Yom Kippur, or if a person himself has to drink on Yom Kippur, ideally he should drink less than that at a time and then wait and then drink again. Of course, if you can't do that, if it's going to be pikuach nefesh, then you just give him more than that at a time. Anyway, so why is it, Rav Zeira asks, that by food we have a standard amount for each person, and by drinking we're saying no? Amalei Abaya says because like this, Kim lehu l'rabbanan, the Chachamim have
figured out, the Chachamim know for a fact, b'kakeseves, when it comes to eating food, that if a person eats a keseves, d'bahochim yasvadaite, only if he eats a keseves worth of food is it going to calm him down and make him then take the edge off his hunger. But less than that, it's not, and therefore he still feels the affliction of Yom Kippur, and therefore he's still chai, therefore he's still potter. B'shsia, on the other hand, the Chachamim also figured out drinking is different. All you need is for him to drink one cheekful of liquid, his own cheekful, which is going to depend, which is going to vary from one person to another. And then that's already enough to take the edge off his affliction, and therefore that's how it is. That's just the nature of things, that eating and drinking are different things, and a person is miyas v'daite, a person feels better after with eating, only after he eats a standard amount, whereas with drinking, it's going to depend on his size. So the question is then, maskef l'rabzera, but b'chol ha'olam kula b'kakaseves, v'og melech ha'boshan b'kakaseves. We just mentioned before about og melech ha'boshan, or somebody physically large like that, and you're telling me that when it comes to maloy lugmav, it's going to depend on his size, on the size of his cheek, how much liquid he can put in his cheek, and therefore what's going to be miyas v'daite. All of a sudden, you're going to say with food, though, you're going to say that a kaseves is going to work the same for og melech ha'boshan and for everybody else. How is that? Doesn't he have a much larger appetite? Omale Abaya answers him as follows. The Chachamim know for a fact that a keseves is going to calm him down, is going to make him feel better. And they know that less than that, he's not going to feel better. He's still going to feel very hungry and very afflicted. Mihu, so the difference is, what's the difference between a regular person, an Ogmelech HaBashan, not the immediate effect it has, but the longer term effect. Kula Alma Tshuva, for a regular person, the effect of the Keseves lasts a long while. For Ogmelech HaBashan Purta, for Ogmelech HaBashan, it lasts only a very short amount of time because he has a larger digestive system. But for the moment, when he first eats that Keseves, it has the same effect on Ogmelech HaBashan as it does on anybody else, and therefore that's reason enough to be Mechayiv him if he eats that amount. Because for that moment, at least, he's not feeling the asher lo su'una. Okay, maskef l'Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira asks further on that. In that case, what about different kinds of food? Basar shaman v'kakaseves v'lulav v'kfanim v'kakaseves. How can we say that it doesn't matter the amount of food? The Mishnah just said generically any food a person is chayiv if he eats a kaseves. So you're telling me whether he eats fat meat, which definitely takes the edge off a person's hunger, or whether he eats lulaveg fanim, which are thin growths that grow thin little things that grow out of a grapevine, the little tendrils that help hold it up when the grapevine climbs. Those, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, those a person is chayev for eating them on Yom Kippur, because they're considered food, depending on certain circumstances, depending how long ago they grew, whatever. We'll get into that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The point is, you're telling me no matter what kind of food, it's always going to be a keseves of any kind of food is going to have the same effect on a person's appetite. How is that? And again, Amalei Abaye, yeah. Yes, the Chachamim figured out that it takes a keseves to take the edge off the person's hunger and to calm him down and make him feel good and not feel afflicted. And less than that, it's not going to calm him down. Mihu, again, the answer is basar shaman tshuva. So if a person eats fat meat, a keseves, a fat meat, then it'll take a long while before he feels hungry again. Lulavei kfanim purta. Lulavei kfanim, he's going to eat them fine. A minute later, he's going to feel hungry again. But for that minute, he didn't have asher le'su'una. And obviously, if Og Melech HaBashan eats lulavei kfanim, it's going to be even less. It may just be a few seconds. But nevertheless, that's enough. There is a certain miyas v'daite for that very short amount of time. Likewise, maskef l'Rava. Rava asks another question. Now, we know that when it comes to eating, always we have, besides that you have to have an amount, kazayas, as we said, with most mitzvahs in the Torah, a kesebes in connection with Yom Kippur, always it has to be within the same time, within b'chdei achilas pras. And if it's further apart than that, then the two things don't combine together. So we have it, for example, by matzah and Pesach, we always talk about that you have to eat the kazayas b'chdei achilas pras. Again, how to translate k'dei achilas pras into modern measurements, into a time, you have, there are opinions all over the place among the poskim, anywhere from as little as 2 minutes to as long as 15 minutes. Majority opinions are somewhere between about 2 and 9 minutes. The Tzemach Tzedek in one place says 6 minutes, in another place he says 7 minutes. It's brought in the name of the Alter Rebbe, 8 minutes. And then there are posts, we'll say 4 minutes. And then there are actually some of the Achronim, the Minchas Chinuch, and a couple of others who say there's no real fixed amount for Kedei Achilas Pras. It depends on the type of food, different kinds of foods people are going to eat at different speeds, and therefore it's going to be different for each kind of food. Anyway, so Maskif Lo Rava, Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras. How can you tell me that for eating a Kezayis, for example, for the mitzvah of eating matzah, or for the Isurim of eating Chelev or other such things, that if a person delays within the middle more than Kedei Achilas Pras, then it doesn't count. And a Kezayis, which we established before, is larger than a Kezayis, also you're going to say is Bechdei Achilas Pras. What's the logic? And again, Amalei Abaya, same logic as before. The Chachamim figured out that it takes a Kesebes and it takes within Bechdei Achilas Pras to calm him down, to make him not feel the affliction of Yom Kippur. But if he takes any longer than that, it's not going to have that effect on him. Therefore, yes, it's true, it's a larger amount. It's Kesebes versus Kezayis, but nevertheless, it still is the same kind of thing, where if the person eats it with more than a delay of that, it's not going to have that effect on him. It's not going to take away the inui of Yom Kippur. Therefore, he's not going to be chayiv. There is, by the way, Macholikus was showing him, what about when it comes to drinking? Do we also say Bechdei Achilas Pras? Or the Rambam says that no, when it comes to drinking, then the amount is actually Kadesh Sias Revis. That the amount would be, if the person drinks the Maloy Lugmav, the one cheekful, like we said before, within the amount of time that it would normally take to drink a Revis, which is, of course, going to be a lot less than Kedei Achilas Pras. So according to the Rambam, it comes out a Chumra and a Kula. It comes out, in other words, if a person were to drink a... If a person were to drink a kula in the sense that if a person drinks a half maloy lugmav, and then a minute later drinks another half maloy lugmav, he's going to be potter. On the other hand, it comes out a chumrah according to the Rambam that it comes out a kula. If a person needs to drink on Yom Kippur, then he can drink the half Maloy Lugmav, and then a minute later he can drink another half Maloy Lugmav, and he's not going to have violated Inui because it's longer apart than Kadesh Sias Revias. As opposed to if you say that Kadesh Achilas Pras, then he's going to have to wait a considerably longer amount of time between one drink and the next. Another question about this business of Kedei Achilas Pras, Maskif Lo Rava, because Seves Kedei Achilas Pras and Chatzi Pras, Kedei Achilas Pras. Here is another case where we have that if you eat a little bit and then you pause and then you eat a little bit more, then it's not mitzvah if it's longer than Kedei Achilas Pras apart. Namely, the Midrabanan, well, at this point, the Gemara doesn't realize that it's Midrabanan yet. If a person eats a half a pras of Tomei food, then he becomes Tomei and he can't eat Truma. Now, there's a machloikus in Eruvin, whether a pras is the amount of 6 or 8 eggs. Here we're talking a half a pras, so it would be half of that. A pras over there, it's a machloikus over there, whether a whole loaf is 6 or 8 eggs, a pras means half of that, so therefore it would be 3 or 4. And here we're talking about that a person eats a half of that, a half a pras, then so that would be 1.5 or 2 eggs, respectively, according to those two opinions. So if a person eats that amount of tomei food, then they're not allowed to eat truma. Then they become tomei. Then they become tomei, and they're not allowed to eat truma. So again, Rava says, what's the logic that if a person is going to eat only a keseves on Yom Kippur, and he eats it far apart enough, more than Kedei Achilas Pras, it's not going to combine together, but how can we say a chatzi pras, which is much larger than that, because a chatzi pras, we're saying, is at least the size of 1.5 eggs. A keseves, we established yesterday, is less than the size of 1 egg. So a chatzi pras is at least double that, or maybe even close to triple that. So you're telling me that also the shear is Bechdei Achilas Pras, that if he delays more than Kedei Achilas Pras, then it shouldn't combine together? What's the logic? Amalei Rapapa. So Rapapa says, Hanach l'trumas gviya delav deraisi. Set aside, leave aside this case where a person's body becomes tummy by eating tummy food. Delav deraisi, it's not deraisa. So therefore, it's only derabanan, and therefore the Chachamim were makel on it. Now, Tosfos points out, Tosfos Ishanim over here, and regular Tosfos and Tosfos in some other places discusses. Now, we know, we learned in Masechta Shabbos that there's a such a thing called the Yud Ches Davar. Shortly before Churban Bayis Sheni, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were together over there in the attic of Hananya ben Chizki ben Gorin. Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel at that point, even though usually Beis Shammai is the minority. This time they were the majority, and they were gozer 18 gzeiros. And among the gzeiros, the Gemara mentions over there in Shabbos is ha'oichel oichel rishon va'oichel oichel sheni, that if a person eats food that's tamei, then he becomes tamei and he's not allowed to eat truma. Now, on the face of it, then, this is the gzeira we're talking about. On the other hand, Tosfos says, if that's the case, the Chacham, we know perfectly well that the Yud Ches Davar are Drabanan. So the Gemara wouldn't have even had a question about it in the first place. It must be, Tosfos says, originally, it must be that there were two different gzeiras. Originally, a person eats this amount of food, he's not allowed to eat truma. That was a much earlier gzeira, so early that the Gemara thinks it might have even been something Daraisa, and Rav Papa has to answer that actually it's only Drabanan. And then you have later in the Yud Ches Davar, they made a gzeira that a person who did that, who ate X amount of tamei food, not only is not allowed to eat truma, which is the earlier gzeira, he's not even allowed to touch truma. He's going to be metamei. But so according to that, that would be why Rav Papa has to point out over here that Tumas Gvia is not Daraisa, because it's such an early gzeira, long before the Yud Ches Davar, that we wouldn't have realized that it's Drabanan if Rav Papa hadn't pointed it out to us. The question is, did Rav Papa really say that? That Tumas Gvia, this case where a person eats tamei food and becomes also to eat truma, is only Drabanan. The Pasuk says, Veloisi tamu behem, you should not become tamei by eating them. In context, the Pasuk is talking about eating shrotzim. And you would become tamei through them. Now, it can't mean that it's also to become tamei, because a Yisrael certainly is allowed to become tamei. Even a koyin is only not allowed to become tamei mess. He's allowed to become tamei by a sheretz. So what would the pasuk mean implying that you're not allowed to become tamei? But Amar Rav Papa, Mikan Shetumas Gvia Daraisa, and Rav Papa says from here we see the concept that if a person eats tamei food, he becomes tamei is Daraisa. So what is Rav Papa himself telling us is only Drabanan? The answer is Midrabanan. It really is only Drabanan. Okra, Smachta Ba'alma, the pasuk is really an Asmachta. Mainly we use it for a drasha that we learned previously in our Masechta. Rashi brings that if a person is Matame himself a little bit, then Hashem makes it much more possible for him to become Tame. Boli Tame Poschim Loy, as the Gemara says. And the flip side of it, Boli Tire, that a person comes to become Tar, Messiah Noise, then Hashem assists him with that. But that's the main thing we learned from the pasuk. This, the business about Tumas Gvia, is only an Asmachta of the pasuk. Okay. So that's that then. So the bottom line is that yes, any kind of food a person eats on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayiv if he eats a kesevis of it, doesn't matter what kind of food, doesn't matter his size. The Chachamim figured out that in all cases, it's going to make him feel better at least momentarily. On the other hand, when it comes to drinking, then it's going to depend on the size of the person, because again, the Chachamim figured out that when it comes to drinking, it depends on the size of the person, how much it's going to be miyas v'dayte.
Okay. And what happens when he eats a kasevis and it's not b'achilas pras? Is he chayav? Is he not chayav?
Then he's not chayav. And in fact, for that reason, again, if we have to feed a person on Yom Kippur because he's sick or whatever, what we try to do ideally is we give him less than a kasevis, then we rate the amount kedei achilas pras, and then we give him another kasevis. If he can manage with that, then good. That way, at least he hasn't been over on a daraisa level, or maybe on a fine chatzis shir osam and atorah. If he went to Rabbi Yechanan, fine, it was daraisa, but at least he didn't reach the amount that would make him chayev for any kind of penalty min atorah, and therefore that's the better way of doing it. If that doesn't work, then pikuach nefesh doich kalatorah kola, as we're going to learn later in the parak. So therefore, we give him as much as he needs.
Shkeiach.
Okay, wait. We still have a few more minutes. Let's run down a little more. The Mishnah had said kol ha'oichlin, that all foods combine together to make up the keseres. So in this connection, Amar Rav Papa, achal umtsa umilcha. If a person eats meat with the salt on it, mitzdanef, then they combine together. Now, salt by itself is not something that a person normally eats. And we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that if a person eats something which is not normally edible, then he's potter. It's also to do, but he's potter. But since people normally eat the meat with salt on it, with styrofin, then it does combine together and the salt helps make up the shiur kesevis. Likewise, Amar Ish Lakish, Sauce on vegetables also counts toward the kaseves. So the question is, pshita, isn't that obvious? I mean, okay, the next Mishnah is going to say that if a person eats tzir by itself, then he's potter. But once we already know, once we already know that salt combines, and by the same logic that tzir is going to combine, the answer is, because you might have thought that the tzir is considered a liquid, and we said in the Mishnah that foods and liquids don't combine, so therefore you would say it doesn't combine. Kamash malan, therefore a puppet, therefore a shlokish is telling us that no, this is different. When it's coming to make the food more edible, it's coming, the sauce on the vegetables is coming to make them taste better, then it's considered like the food. Tosfos Hashanim points out there are other areas in halacha where it would be considered a liquid. For example, that if a person, when you dip vegetables in a sauce, then you have to wash for them, like we do on Pesach night. But for this purpose that we're talking about over here, as far as the dinim of Yom Kippur, for this purpose it counts as the food, and therefore it counts toward the kesevus. In this connection, if a person eats on Yom Kippur, achila gasa, meaning that he's full. So Rashi says, let's say he's full from the Sodom of Sekis, and now he eats again on the night of Yom Kippur, so he's completely full. There are various places where Tosfos explains that there's two kinds of achila gasa. You can have one kind where the person is full, but not so much that he's nauseated by food. So then there are places where the Gemara refers to such achila gasa. It's not the best way of eating, but it is considered eating in halacha. A person would be yotza, for example, if he ate the korban Pesach that way. Versus the kind of achila gasa we're talking about over here is the kind where the person is nauseated by the sight of food because he's eaten so much he can't really eat another bite, and yet he forces some down. That kind we're saying can be potter for doing on Yom Kippur. Not that he's allowed to do it, but he'd be potter. My time, why? Because the pasuk says he doesn't afflict himself. Prapla mazik, as opposed to, therefore, when he's mazik, he's not taking away any inui. He's damaging the food because he's not doing anything useful with the food. He's damaging himself, so therefore he's not over on asher lo sauna. It's still also to do, but he's not chayav kares or chafas for it. Similarly, Omer of Yirmiya, Omer of Shlokish, Zor Sha'ochal Truma Achila Gasa. By the same token, if a Zor eats Truma in this way as Achila Gasa, that he already is overfull and now he's eating and forcing it down when he's completely nauseated by it. So we don't apply, usually when a Zor eats Truma B'Shoigig, he has to pay a Keren V'Choymish. But over here, we don't do that. Over here, Meshalamas a Keren Ve'ena Meshalamas a Choymish. He only has to pay the Keren, not the Choymish, because Ki Yoicho Prat Hamazik, because the Pasuk says, if a person eats Truma, implying that only if he eats it when it's considered eating. This isn't considered eating. Prat Hamazik, this is this would be considered that he's Mazik it. And similar, the Amr Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zor Shekoses Sa'odim Shel Truma, if a Zor chews and swallows barley of Truma, where koisis, Rashi explains, is an expression for eating something not in the normal way. You don't normally eat raw barley, but like this he did. He took barley of truma and ate it raw. Mishalam is a keren, vein mishalam is a chomish. Same thing. He only pays the keren, not the chomish, like any other mazik, because again, ki yoicho prap mazik, the special din of paying the keren the chomish, and that he has to pay with actual fruit, which then becomes truma, that only applies to a person who eats truma. Here we don't consider that he ate it. Here we consider he damaged it, and the usual rule of a mazik, he only pays the keren. And one more din in this connection, Amr of Shizbi, Amr of Yechanan, Zor Shabolash Zofim Shal Truma. If a Zor swallowed Zofim of Truma, Shazofim Rashi translates as prunes, meaning plums. So he swallowed them without even chewing them. The Hekion, and then he spit them up. The Ochlan Acher, and somebody else then goes and eats them. Tosfos Hashanim discusses over here that we may possibly mean where the other person doesn't know that the first person had eaten them and then swallowed them, because otherwise, if he knows about it, then you wouldn't consider it food at all. So we could be talking about where the second one doesn't know b'chlal that it was eaten. Then Tosfos Hashanim brings from Reb Chaim Kohen that here it's a special case with Truma, because once the first person ate it, then it became Nischalel. Anyway, V'ochon Acher, so now you have somebody else ate these plums. Rishon Meshalamas Keren Mechomish, the first one, as usual, has to pay the Keren Mechomish, because even though he didn't chew them, but swallowing plums is considered a normal enough way of eating, because they go down easily enough. So he has to usually do the usual thing, pay a Keren Mechomish, meaning that he has to go buy that equivalent amount of plums and give them to the Kohen, and they become Truma. Shani, on the other hand, the second one who ate them after the first one spit them out, In Meshalim, and May Eitzim, Larushin, Bilvad, he has to pay the first one only the value of them as firewood because they're not considered food anymore. The only thing they could have been used for at this point is as firewood, and therefore that's all he's chayev to pay. So again, one possibility is that we're talking about he didn't know that they had previously been eaten. Otherwise, maybe we wouldn't even be mechayev of the second one at all. And another possibility, again, Tosfos Hashanim brings from Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen that it's a special thing with truma. As soon as the first one ate it, he was mechalal it. So therefore, it doesn't really matter whether the second one knows that it was swallowed or not. Either way, the point is that once the first one ate it, it's nischalal. Now the second one is not chayev for it under the dinim of truma anymore, just under the regular dinim of mazik. Okay.